I always wanted to really chat with a microbiologist in veterinary medicine. And we don't know where this is all going to go today, but this is going to be a really fun one because we're going to riff on all things like on the microbiome. We're going to chat about cultures and sensitivity, stewardship. And joining us today is Dr. Emily Stein, microbiologist. How are you, my friend?
Good, good. How are you?
Good. Good to see you and everything. And by the way, tell everybody a little bit about your dog. He's so cute. You have a cute mixed breed dog of everything.
Yeah. Absolutely everything. He's 25, sequenced him, of course. He is a rescue. He's 3 years old now. Cash, are you three?
Are you three? Are you 3 years old?
Yes.
So he's a quarter German Shepherd, quarter Lab, quarter Pit, and then anything from cattle dog to he's got some wolf. He's got pretty much everything you could imagine under the sun.
Right.
Boxer, and he is he's my number one man.
I love it. That's how it should be. That's how it should be. So, we talk a lot, and I know you're a dog mom too. You're really concerned about the microbiome. So tell the listeners a little bit about, if they're new to that term, what is the microbiome?
So the microbiome is the entire microbial world that inhabits an organism like a dog. So it resides in different compartments: skin, ears, sinus, mouth, gut, general urinary. It's been discovered for many, many years. At one time, I remember, and even when I was in grad school, working on my doctorate in microbiology, they were still thinking, medicine was still thinking that blood was sterile. And now we know it's absolutely not
Right.
sterile. There's always microbes swimming around in our blood. They outnumber us, they control and contribute to neuroendocrine function, development in utero, metabolism is a big thing. And they pretty much play marionette with our bodies and
Yeah.
physiology.
I tend to think of it nowadays as like it's like the nucleus to everything, it seems like, the microbiome, right?
It really is. It really is. And it's really scared the drug companies because they're realizing, whoa, the microbes are metabolizing the drugs we've always modeled in for the host biology, but we never thought about the microbiology.
Right.
And now they're realizing that's why they're pumping millions and millions and millions of dollars into researching the microbiome because it is turning out to be a big deal.
And what does it mean when you say, our goal is to feed the microbiome? What does that mean?
So we've been realizing that they eat before we do, and we just absorb the waste products. And so the goal, like what I'm really aiming to do is feed the microbiome in a way that sculpts who lives in that microbial compartment and what they secrete. So I decrease think waste products that cause inflammation or lead to cancer down the road. I'm really trying to minimize that. So the goal is really to understand the microbial metabolism and their nutrient requirements that you want to feed them so that you're ultimately feeding the cat or the dog or the horse the right kind of diet for their health.
And you bring up a good point because you talk about multiple species. When I talk to pet owners, they'll say, "Oh, I can just give my dog, my own like yogurt or my own probiotics." And to your point, the biome is species specific. So therefore, so should the probiotics, prebiotics, postbiotics, right?
Absolutely. So, when we think about like evolution, the microbes were on Earth first, right? And then the dog evolved into a dog and the cat evolved into a cat. And the microbiome has always been with wild cats or wolves. And so it's interesting to see the transition of the compartment of the microbiome in a dog when you change its diet, for instance, or even environment. You'll see massive shifts. There's fundamental differences in the microbiome of cats that are alley cats versus domestic, house cats. And a lot of that has to do with diet.
Yeah. And I know this now because you taught me this last year, but We also have the biome associated in the oral cavity too. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So the oral cavity is actually, I think, one of the more exciting cavities to work in, because we're finding that it drives a lot of who lives in the gut microbiome. And a lot of folks didn't think that that occurred, but we're showing actually that it has a significant impact. And then moreover, the mouth is like so close to the brain. And in dogs, particularly the beagle, and in humans, now we're finding certain organisms that are linked very strongly to periodontal disease are also scarily linked to dementias, because there is some escape through the gum tissue into the bloodstream. So, you know, you're in dogs, cats, and humans, we definitely have a two-way system, one down to the heart, one up to the head. And we know from prophylactic dental cleanings in humans that there's, if you have like joint replacements or things, a cleaning can cause massive infections in the heart and joints. So it really highlights how important the compartment is, because it's close to so many vital organs.
So close to so many vital organs, absolutely. So we talk about the biome in terms of microbiology. I want to talk to you because I know you've seen this a lot in the media the past several years about antimicrobial stewardship too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, to the listeners that may be newer to hearing that term, what is it and what does that mean to you?
Yeah. So, you know, it's really been driven home by like the CDC, and in veterinary medicine and in human dentistry actually is one of the big culprits. And it's this consciousness about prescribing appropriate antimicrobial agents to clients based on certain diseases. You know, we used to give antibiotics out readily and there's so much resistance. It's so prevalent. These microbes know how to exchange resistance notes and secrets to stay alive because they're incentivized to survive. And so we really have to be mindful about what we prescribe, how broad spectrum it is, and is it really appropriate?
I heard Dr. Dawn Booth, she's a pharmacologist, internal medicine speaker here at Fetch. And she says this one term is, you need to match the bug to the drug, match the bug to the drug. And I feel like that's more so prominent now than ever, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. We've looked in mouths of humans, all age groups, dogs, all age groups and breeds, cats, 200 across the country. And I can't tell you how many multi-drug resistant microbes, including fungi, like Aspergillus and Candida, that we are seeing in their mouths. MRSA, prevalent. And so that's actually pretty scary because they're the reservoirs for the home.
Oh, terrible. I mean, here we are as veterinarians. We try to do public health awareness, of course, too. Some of these things can be transmissible over to our pet parents. It's so frustrating too, though, Emily, like as a veterinarian practicing, you're like, when you see these cultures and sensitivities and you get like the resistance or the intermediate, and you have these other factors like cost, how are we going to deliver this? Is it just as effective as a compound medication as it would be in its, you know, natural state? So what are your thoughts on all of that as well?
Oh, it's so complex. Even how the duration of treatment is a big deal. You know, is 7 days enough for certain cases? You know, because each of us have our own microbial fingerprint. And so we're very thoughtful about that. And there's a lot you can do if you actually take an antibiotic and tailor it appropriately with other pressures like nutrient pressure. I'm circling back to nutrition again, because that's a very easy way to microbes don't have arms, but tie their arms behind their back and to really let that antimicrobial agent work better. So that you can actually improve the MIC, which is the, you know, the resistance. You're on mute, I think.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts? I see some veterinarians that are using antibiotics with probiotics. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't understand how the probiotics can work effectively, because they need to be able to, usually there are spores, particularly like the bacillus, or they're very dormant because they're dried down. Like lactobacillus is often in a desiccated form or lyophilized form, which is dry. So it has to rehydrate in the body and then it has to germinate. And that germination process, I used to work on spore formation in soil microbes during my doctorate. So if they sense harsh chemicals, antibiotics, they're not going to grow. They're just going to hide and kind of calm themselves down and survive that stress, which means they won't germinate, they won't grow. So they're really not, you're really not potentiating that probiotic strain in the presence of an antibiotic. I would chase an antibiotic with a probiotic.
Okay. That makes sense too. And, you know, where do you see, you know, we're in 2022 now, where do you see microbiology heading, say 5, even 10 years down the road from now?
Oh, dude, it is exploding. Like,
yeah. I know, so fast.
Yeah, the postbiotics. I mean, we're working with a couple of postbiotics that are super exciting for gut health, for oral gingival health, to try to tighten those gap junctions and minimize leakiness. I mean, you've got the symbiotic combinations where you have a pre plus a probiotic to really potentiate the pros. You've got, you know, we're doing a ton of metabolomics right now because we're seeing the mouth being linked to the genital urinary tract really tightly. So we're working on the mouth, but looking at improving urinary tract infections, for instance, in animals, just by reorienting and recalibrating that microbiome. So it's an exciting time to be a microbiologist in the veterinary space.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, to those that are listening, we have quite a few students that tune in and listen. What would be some pieces of recommendation or advice if they're interested in going down the field of microbiology?
Oh, buckle up. It's there's a lot going on. It's confusing and intimidating. But if you're a big nerd like me, it's exciting. And I know historically in medicine, we focus on the bad boys and girls and the bad players. But it's so interesting, the relationship between all of the good commensals that you need to have inhabiting that cavity and how it interacts and regulates and influences the immune response and tissue integrity and endocrine function and all of those things. And so there's a lot to learn and important to think about it in terms of also the good, not just focusing on eliminating the bad.
Yeah, love it. Well, this has been wonderful. So Dr. Emily Sutton, where can we find more information about you and our friends at Teef?
Yeah, so Teef is our company brand name for at-home care for dental health and companion animals. And so you can look us up at www.teefhealth, which is T-E-E-F, health.com. And there it probably has a link to me and my bio, but I can also be found on LinkedIn.
Yeah, and I'm a big fan of Teef too. My dachshunds have it because, you know, I got 4 dachshunds, so... I do everything I can to protect those teeth and gums.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Always good to hear from you and get some insightful information from you.
Great. And I like the beard.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for growing it out. It's going with the voice right now. Well, thank you so much. And thank you for our listeners for tuning in. As always, don't forget to rate this podcast as well and continue to subscribe. We have weekly podcasts that are dropping every week. And stay tuned for next week's episode. Stay awesome out there. Stay safe. And we'll see you next week. Take care, everybody.